We don't have anything now, up to now. It is our first disappointment from the department. We are new in this committee. We don't know the department. We don't know each other. I don't even introduce myself, but I don't have anything in front of me from the department. But be as that we are going to introduce ourselves, and then the department will explain to us what are we going to discuss without reading. This is the thing that embarrassing us as a committee, because the time is crucial. We need to have the information. There are the budget votes that are in front of us need to be debated, but there's nothing. So this is a really, really disappointment. I don't know. I don't know if there's any member who has the document. I think if I don't have the document, I think all the members have got the document. I'm Mrs. Kikani, from the Eastern Cape. My name is Nolthando Daphne. I'm the chairperson of this committee. The honorable members, I have an opportunity to introduce themselves before the department, but I'm a little bit disturbed, you know, about this. I don't know what are we going to discuss in this meeting. Let me start from you, Honorable Dibia, to introduce yourself, and then the fullest explanation we'll get from the department, and then the decision will be taken by the committee.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you. I second what you just said regarding the department. My name is Charles de Beer. I'm from the province of the Northern Cape. Actually, Kimberley, that is Central South Africa, not Bloemfontein. Take note of that as well, not Bloemfontein, it's Kimberley. But they are our good neighbors. And the Northwest is also our good neighbors. And the Eastern Cape is also our good neighbors at Lothwood, Richmond, and Ocean areas. And I'm fortunate to be a member of this committee and to be part of it.
Thank you. Deb?
Morning, Chair. Good morning, everybody. My name is Daryl Worth. I'm a member of this committee. And I'm from the Free State for a starter. And we have the best work we see.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Gauta Makwaro. I'm from the Northern Cape. It's my neighbor. I've been yesterday, Shari. He stays in Altar. I stay in Royal Dean. I'm a passionate member of this committee that deals with issues that I really feel that could unfold, could untangle our problems in the country. And I would like really to say that I'm privileged to be a member of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Mashiri.
Yes, Mr. Mashiri from Mpumalanga. I'm a full-time member of this committee. I'm a returning member, but previously I was in the third parliament during the National Assembly. Now I've got the privilege of being in the NCOP, the second arm of the parliament. I hope that I'm going to make it current, because it's together with you.
Thank you. I'm hand over to the department before I go around. Or before to the department, I've got three secretaries to assist. I've got the committee secretary after. Just introduce yourself.
Arthur Bauer, committee secretary.
Okay, good morning all. My name is Deshni Khaled. I'm the content advisor to the committee.
Matera.
Good morning, everyone.
Okay, let me start this way, and then let's also start with the department, yes? Okay, yes.
As well as the
last week, so we were able to get the different times, and now that it is being called the secretary of the bank to register my sincere apologies.
Sorry, sis, I think you must introduce yourself and your team first, and then we'll discuss that later after introduction about this document.
My name is Dawilo Ndi, I'm the Director General of the Department of Agriculture, and I'd like to choose the colleagues to introduce themselves.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Chibura Ndi, and I'm the Deputy Responsible for Quality. Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Khadim Mokhajane. I'm the Deputy for Food Safety and Migration.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Bayete Daleni. I'm the person for CAP in the Department of Agriculture for the Safety.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and honorable member. My name is Bongam Somi. I'm responsible for engineering services and crop management.
Thank you.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Masek Shachwai. I'm responsible for land and agriculture for the Department.
Thank you.
Morning, Chair, honorable members. I'm Yuan Peter, acting CFO.
Thank you. Anyone? Okay. Introduce yourself, please.
My name is Leseng Bala. I'm parliamentary.
Thank you.
Morning, members. My name is Mark. I'm parliamentary politician.
I'm telling you what you feel.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Mohammed Gina. I'm from the Agricultural Research Council.
Okay, can you just say anyone? We know each other now. Thank you, honorable members and the department. Now, we must come to the problem. And then I think I'll allow the DC now to explain fully to us. Thank you, Tichi. Just because I'm the leader of the committee, I think I'll allow the members to also put their disappointment and also will take the decision. But as I say before, that we need to read the documents and then to check. Now, if we are going to get the document now, how do you think that we can have the questions or whatever? Because as the NSOP, you know that the NSOP is just a committee that sticks right inside to check the inequalities of the processes, whatever. So I will hand over to the committee to make another machine.
Yeah,
thanks,
Chairperson. I really think that we need to register our display. If reconfigured department comes for the first time, you know, instead of having serious intentions of making a good mark right at the beginning, and then they found themselves in kind of a position which seeks to disempower the members in this particular meeting. I think it is fair, and it is obvious that today's meeting is actually the meeting of the department.
Mm.
It can't be the meeting with us, because we are just simply going to be observers in this particular meeting. I don't think we can be expected to make any meaningful contribution during this particular meeting. And that kind of a situation as well renders us useless to be able to assist the department so that it actually achieves the goals that we have promised our people out there as public representatives. If it was not a new department, Comrade Chair, I was going to propose that we send them home until we have got documents. And because it looks like these are signs of teething problems, and we hope to give them audience, although it's that we're not going to meaningfully assist them to actually achieve the goals that we have set and the goals that the people out there have invested us in. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone
who
wants to
speak? Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm also of the same opinion, Chair, that had it not been for the new establishment of this department, I would also call for us to send them back to where we come from. But as we know, that anything that is done from the beginning has always been teething problems, I think we should accept that it is because of that. It's not a question of efficiency. Question of how to disempower us, because I feel that you know, if you want to disempower a person, you must actually deny him or her the information. Now to come and sit in a meeting where you don't even have an idea of the meeting, what is going to be discussed, is one of the greatest disempowerment. But I don't say they have done it purposely, but I'm saying you know, ringing a bell in the future. They must try to empower us before they come with any new approach. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Chair, thank you for the opportunity. The department must realize we have a mandate from our provinces, as we said, as members of the MCLP. That's a responsibility we have in this meeting today. And the lack of the documentation is to our disadvantage. I don't understand, Chairperson. The same presentation was made to the Committee in the National Assembly, so the documentation is available somewhere. And for the future, for the next 5 years, count that members in this committee, write it down somewhere. If the documentation comes to the NA committee meeting, just add on for the NCLP and it will be then available in time. It's a practical thing. It should diarize somewhere. In terms of the PFMA also. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Is there anything to add?
Now, I concur, Chair, with what has been said here, and but however, which I'm sure doesn't happen in the future, but I suggest, Chair, we carry on the presentation on condition we get that documentation.
Okay. Thank you, Honourable Members. This and DDG, you heard about what is happening. I think it must not happen again. Where are the documents now? Because we don't have it even now. At least we are going to start, but the fruitful questions, and we are not going to get it as Honourable Marshall said, but we are going to try because we need the information. So I think we must have the documents and must start the meeting.
Apologies,
The sister can give the copies to the members of the trust. Let's wait about 5 minutes. How long is it going to take this issue?
About 10 minutes.
Let's wait because we need to, if there must have a copy, we need to write it at least. At least, you know this. You don't do this in the end. We are the honorable members. We are the same members. Equally. But as it comes to the NOP, always there's this. I don't know what. No, we're just, but we just raised our concerns. Those who didn't have tea must have tea. 5 minutes break for tea. Thank you. Okay, we can start it now. Everybody has got a judgment. At least I must hand over to the department to brief us in all the issues that are on the agenda. They will share by themselves who's going to brief what, but I hand over to the department to do everything. Okay.
Training, extension, advisory services,
scientific research and technology development. It is divided into two programs. The first program is what is called the Livelihood and Development Support. And honorable members are familiar with most of the products that are in this program. For example, in supporting the post-settlement support, promote the black economic empowerment, provide for agricultural development finance, and promote farmer cooperatives and manage the transfer of funds in respect of cash and cooperative agricultural support program, MAFISA, our financing program, AgriCEE, and also manages the NERHA farms. The second part of the program is the rural sector services and research. That's why in our ministry, we also have the representative of the Agricultural Research Council, because it is this program that is responsible for the transfer of the parliamentary grant. Honorable members, the third program is what we call trade and economic development, and the program facilitates the market access for South African agricultural products nationally and internationally. And the program also provides agricultural and economic statistical services to support economic growth and development and also monitor the economic performance of the sector. The program also has two sub-programs, namely the trade and marketing development arm, which facilitates the domestic and international market access for South African agricultural products. It is also manages the transfer of funds to one of the state-owned enterprises, the National Agricultural Marketing Council, the NAMC. The second part of our program is the economic and statistical services. It is provided for the agricultural and statistical services in support of economic growth and development. It also monitors and evaluates the economic performance of the sector and generates different agricultural statistics. One of our critical problems is crop protection and biosecurity. The purpose of this program is to manage the risk associated with animal diseases, plant pests, genetically modified organisms, the reduction of products using the agricultural seed and provision of food safety to safeguard human life. This program is also divided into two sub-programs. The first one is on the plant health and inspection services, which focuses on sound plant health risk management framework and contributes to the compliance system for assessing potential risks mostly associated with the GMOs and also the regulations at our borders and the national source of entry and inspection services, all intended to ensure that agricultural product intended for import and export and local strength that area of our work is clearly supervised. The next sub-program is the food and veterinary services, which manages the animal outbreaks, animal diseases, and also the negotiation of the protocols, which are in the trade for importing and exporting of animal and animal products, and ensure that all the animal products are of good quality and safe for human consumption. At this stage, honorable members, we are beginning to introduce a new component to the department. That is the forestry, and we just see the highlights of that component, which is bringing on a staff complement of 3,555. The key legislation that is implemented by this component deals with the implementation of the National Forest Act of 1998 and the implementation of the National Search and Forest Act of 1998 and also implementation of the forest sector charter. The component has also developed a policy of 2030 roadmap, in other words, giving us a long-term strategy of how the policy should be managed over time. Another member of the seat is discussing with a certain item on the FISA. This is happening at a political level, but what there is been clarity on as of currently is that the FISA component. Only the marine aquaculture part with a sub-component of 21 people is currently coming to the Department of Agriculture, although honorable members must have picked up some of the discussions that at the moment we see discussing at the political level, whether it is the whole fishery inspection or only this element that deals with the marine aquaculture that will be the important one. We will share with you developments on this particular topic as the discussions advances, especially within the team within the presidency that is finalizing and targeting all the structure. So I have to say, for now, is that our discussion will only be limited to the marine aquaculture section, where the specific units, the touchlines, in terms of the mining. I would like to hand over to the members as my colleague to take us quickly through the policy elements that in the strategy that we can see.
Honourable members, before I present the actual functional areas of the program, I just wish to highlight that forestry as a function is a national competency, and that in terms of the national perspective, there are certain provinces that are classified as the forestry provinces because of the extent of forestry in those programs. Honourable member from the Northern Cape would be wondering that we have forests in the Northern Cape. We do not have forests in the Northern Cape, but the function is such that we are responsible for indigenous forest management, that would be in provinces such as Limpopo, Mpumalanga, KwaZulu-Natal, the Eastern Cape, and a little bit in the Southern Cape. In the other provinces such as the Free State, Northwest, Northern Cape, and Gauteng, we don't have that much of an extent of indigenous forest. We tend to do what is called community forestry, where we encourage people or individuals and district municipalities to plant trees to contribute to the health of the environment. The other component of the job is that we are responsible for commercial forestry. Commercial forestry as well will be more prominent in those first four provinces that I highlighted earlier on. I also wish to point out to honourable members that in terms of the responsibility of the state, at a national level, the state only owns about 30% of the commercial forests. The rest of them are owned by private companies. Our role, therefore, as forestry is to make sure that we provide regulation and oversight, as it is pointed out in our slides. In this particular sub-program, we are responsible for making sure that there is a policy and a strategy framework for sustainable forest management, and we are making sure that the forest sector development, hence the development of the charter for the industry and the sector. We are responsible for making sure that there is effective implementation of the two legislations that we are responsible for, the National Forest Act as well as the National Field and Forest Fire Act. Overall, because of our regulatory responsibility, we also manage the overall system of forestry data, information and knowledge design and management. And we also make sure that the system is credible and we manage the system in collaboration with the private sector. I will then ask honorable members to move to the next slide. The next slide indicates what we do in terms of developing the sector. In this particular sub-program, we develop and support the implementation of government's poor forestry strategy. We make sure that we create an enabling environment through which forest development is used to eradicate poverty, to enable economic development and empowerment, and to achieve economic and social redress. One of the critical functions that we perform is to manage the transfer of the department or state-owned plantations to beneficiaries that are identified through the land reform process. We're doing this as well to promote black economic empowerment and socio-economic development at the local level, hence the need for us to work with district municipalities and provincial governments. We are also managing the transfer of the management of the department's natural forest to appropriate agencies. What we do, honorable members, chairperson, is that in some of the provinces, we have entered into agreements with the provincial conservation agency. For instance, in the Western Cape, we do have a standing agreement with State Nature that manages some of the forests. In working on government's pro-poor forestry strategy, we make sure that the provinces are informed, and some of the provinces have responded by making sure that they have included forestry as a function or as an economic activity in their growth and development strategies. We have even gone a level lower to make sure that also the municipalities do the same. The third aspect of the function, honourable members, is our responsibility to provide regional management and support. What we have in the nine provinces are people that are not aligned or linked to any provincial structure. They are accountable to the national department, hence we're talking about forestry regions. The regions are basically there to make sure that we maintain sound stakeholder relationships. There are established structures that we work through, like your clusters in the provinces. And overall, in terms of the regional programs, what we do in the provinces is to make sure that we manage the plantations, we manage the indigenous forests, we encourage economic development through forest enterprise development. We engage communities in greening initiatives. Some of you might have heard of the Million Trees Initiative, where we are encouraging South Africans to plant at least a million trees a year. And overall, we make sure that we support rural livelihoods. Thank you, teacher.
Thank you,
teacher.
For the honourable members of the chiefs now of the presentation, both what explaining how we are linking up with the medium-term strategic framework and the growth strategic priority. The next slide, honourable members, on page 12, really seeks to outline the MTSF priorities. I'll go very quickly through to them because the document has been these were also outlined in the president's speech, but really highlighting those ones that are relevant both to this sector. And those speak to the speeding up of growth and transforming the economy to create decent work and sustainable livelihoods, the social and economic infrastructure, implementation of the comprehensive rural development strategy, linked to land and agrarian reform and food security, and strengthening home in the investment in skills and human resources, improving the leadership health profile, intensifying the fight against crime and corruption, developing a cohesive, caring and sustainable society, improving regional cooperation, implementing the sustainable development, and the democratic development and state, general improvement of the public service, and strengthening democratic institutions. Based on those 10 priorities, then we picked up the following six, which were much more relevant and much more focused within our program. The first one that this sector is focusing on is speeding up growth and transforming the economy to create decent work and sustainable livelihoods. We're also going to be focusing on that cluster, that is the social and economic infrastructure. In partnership with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, we're working very, very closely, ensuring that the implementation of the comprehensive rural development strategy linked to the land and agrarian reform is effective. Partnership with the cluster that is the student and development, we will be looking into ensuring that the skills and human resources for the various sectors. And with regard to our international cooperation, we're also working closely with that cluster to ensure that the better mission is a better Africa and a better world. And also the three areas of focus. We also conscious of the implementation of sustainable and natural resources and management. The next slide just gives an outline, better emphasis on what women is doing with regard to each a cluster. With regard to the growing growth transformation and decent work and sustainable livelihoods, we'd like to share with the members some of the activities that will be undertaken in the next current year. We are working very closely with the commodity group, and one of our highlights for this particular year is the implementation of four agricultural commodity strategies. We are focusing on the grains, on the livestock, on the food, on the cotton. linked to that was a commodity-based mentorship program. We did not overemphasize the importance of the mentorship program, because it not only transfers skills, but also ensures that we were able to address the whole value chain, both in terms of market development and also in terms of infrastructure. So therefore, we've signed some agreements with the commodity organization, and currently we have about 527 projects throughout the country that is implemented in line with this agreement. And therefore, I said earlier on that we have this strategy that has been finalized and worked out together with the sector. All that is required is just their implementation. And in implementing this is the partnership model that we are working on. The main aim is to ensure that there is risk sharing of plans among the sector partners. And this will be facilitated through our three core strategies that talk to the equitable and access and participation, the global competitiveness and profitability, and sustainable resource use of our resources. Moving on to the we also moving on to the growth and transformation of research work and sustainable development. We are also talking to the ACDC forest sector charter. And through this charter, we decide to see another one. We will send the implementation of the ACDC and forest sector charter and ensure that there's a council. That the council performs an oversight role, and also that we're able to combine the ACDC equity fund position currently at the tune of 48.6 million, and will be made available for throughout the sector. One of the other projects that we have is on MAFISA, and there's a lot of discussion, especially at the local level and provincial level, about MAFISA with our funds. But also able to give progress that so far we've had now 10 institutions nationally that have been accredited and appointed to handle MAFISA, and also that a project that took the time which was redirected from the Ilimalisima campaign for 2008 will also now be refocused on supporting the MAFISA fund. And therefore the production loans and financing of assets for financing rural and the development of cooperatives and savings and mobilization schemes will be reinforced over the next beginning of this year. And through this fund, we also promote a producer and trading cooperatives which will encourage bulk buying, transport, and research of storage and storage facilities. And we will also be working together with the Department of Energy to contribute to the production of biofuels and ensuring that there is a balance between biofuel and food security in terms of our job creation. The next slide we have in front of us is that demonstrates some of the key sectors of some of the key functions or key focus areas in terms of the charter, both in terms of transforming the commercial subsector, which is focusing on the two components that relate to ownership and to management. And some of the activities we ensure that there's participation in the economic activities with respect to shareholders and management. With respect to addressing the challenges of the commercial and the developing sectors, we'll be focusing on two areas, again, on the employment, equity, and skills and development. And with respect to addressing challenges of the developing sector, there's also two components that we must be our focus. That is the preferential procurement, also enterprise development, and poverty alleviation. Honorable members, this is a very important slide for us, because this is really where some of those interventions in terms of addressing poverty alleviation, and also ensuring that the transformation in the sector, and this is the model and the framework within which the operation, both related to fisheries and for the forestry elements. Still talking another model on growth and transforming the sector, creating some of our activities related to trade and ensuring that the effective market and the sustainable development of our market and our products throughout the world, and especially within the startup business. And therefore, some of the activities that we've conducted this year is to finalize the amendments of the Marketing of Agricultural Products Act, which also includes finalizing the agricultural marketing policy and the strategy, and finalizing the model for the restructuring of real produce market in South Africa. As I said earlier on, the international work takes us to the negotiations that we've been doing, the WTO, the Doha round of multilateral negotiations through the startup and the FI negotiations. And we are also participating in a number of standards, setting bodies, including the ICPC, Codex, Alternate, and SPS, and META. Let me remember that at the end of the slide, we also have listed all the acronyms that we are using for this reference. We are also implementing the SACA agreement within the SADC region through the SADC trade protocol and through the SADC Mercosur. We're also creating production hubs in local areas with farmers to support linkages between local and international markets, improving on our processing and providing information on financial services to the farmers. I've already talked earlier, remember, to Mafisa, and also to the website the department will be doing, especially the department of energy, on ensuring that the creation of this hub within using the biofuel and biodiesel product. We will also be moving towards our contribution towards economic and social infrastructure. Here we are working directly with the infrastructure. One of our key elements that is presented in the program of ICT is the agro-logistics strategy for farming and agricultural products to promote road and rail infrastructure. We also improve on the investment of especially in terms of agricultural infrastructure, including the rehabilitation of irrigation schemes like the Mokolo River augmentation, the Bahat, the Tawun, and the Makatini irrigation schemes. We are working closely with the Department of Rural Development, ensuring that investment in terms of agricultural infrastructure, including the access roads, the cold storage, the warehousing, and also the establishment of fresh produce collection infrastructure in the provinces. Also working with the different partners, especially the social development department, looking into food distribution logistics, and also modifying and repairing the aging and inappropriate infrastructure, especially in our rural areas. Working closely with the Department of the DTI, really developing and ensuring that the act of processing is brought closer to production areas. As earlier mentioned, one of our major focus is the partnership that we're developing with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. And the number of the next slide demonstrates and outlines some of the key activities that we perform jointly by these two departments. This includes the creation of small scale and large scale agricultural production with a view to contributing to food security, and some of ensuring that it does not depend on imports, but South Africans are also able to produce their own food locally. And this will include the finding of access to food production schemes and ensuring that the food release programs, especially targeted to the poorest communities, the rollout of the livestock multiplication program in support of vaccinations. Beef cattle and the poultry farmers, and ensure that it goes through the whole value chain. There's the roll out of the household food production program, intensify the EMA campaign in support of the war on poverty. The national sensing scheme for the defense of agricultural forestry, land and grazing areas for livestock, and also to stimulate small scale and large scale forestry production to contribute to cyber production and reduce impact on climate change. Continuing with the major program on the comprehensive rural development strategy, as earlier indicated, we will be in partnership with the rural development some of the key activities will be enhancing our activities on the land use planning and landscape programs, the comprehensive agricultural policy support, including mechanization, production issues, extension, capacity building, in women and the youth, and ensuring that we are able to see participation in the sector. And also some of our programs with serving the chief of policies and policies teams, and also conduct an awareness campaign on various in Sanitan. The list continues, honorable members, on the next page of this at 23, where that is some of those activities. But the one that I'd really like to highlight is on the bullet 2, which is put to the increased targeted training, research and extension programs, where we'll be allocating 170 million from 7 million to the provinces to supply the farmers with a green book that will improve our accountability of extension officers to the clients and farmers. We've also grown the recruitment of 202 personnel to support the land reform and flood development program. We've registered 800 officials for participation upgrading on a part-time basis. And also enrolling over 1,000 officials in short courses, and also providing ICT equipment to 327 officials. And we were also pleased to announce that the officials will acquire the accessible line, the quick decision support system. Currently, 3 out of the 9 provinces, that namely KZN and Northwest, have also procured this support system, commonly known as extension online, that facilitates interactions between the farmers and the extension officers. Indeed, I've already spoken to some of the work that we've been doing, especially on the agribusiness and the talk to the 4.86 million equity fund that we have that to promote the implementation of the charter, the council that will be established, and also a specific intervention that will be, identified. Honorable members, in the interest of time, I will also just go through some of these pages on page 25, because we've already spoken to some of those programs. But just have to say that only on page 28, we are already speaking directly about these interventions, especially with the forestry, within that forestry sector. I will then quickly move on to the next slide that show highlight some of the on page 27. On page 27, where we would like to talk a little bit more on food security, because this is one of our own areas of focus, where we currently know that about 2 million South Africans are food insecure, and that some of these households spend over about 50% of their income alone, and they're also being adversely affected by the high food prices. Therefore, this area of our focus will be intervening in specific areas, especially on ensuring or at least getting a better understanding on these high food prices, and working with the competition commission, and ensuring that food is affordable and accessible and available to all South Africans. And that's also some of our interventions working with the Department of Health and Department of Education and Social Development will include the provision of better plants for vegetable production, that is the livestock production and production, the first food feeding program with the Department of Education, and also linking it to the social government and the Department of Social Development on food production. We're also working with the DTI to establish a food safety strategy with a proper system for the whole of contaminated food and hazardous food on the market. And through all this, research includes our policy in section in providing safety net for the rural poor, using the green or non-tribal products and medicinal plants and fuel food. That's to break the presentation also that shows some of the things the vision that we have, the future that we have moving and our participation in the rural areas where currently the production is low, and that's showing the the future that we would also like to have in the next future also that shows where we want to come from, where we are presenting an old small house, which is already being produced for the production and to show the type of infrastructure and the type of intervention. Another member we said that one of the critical areas is on our human resource development and investment in the sector. And working very closely with the sector, we'll be focusing on training and testing development initiatives for the that we are doing. Currently, we are looking at about 200 projects. As you say, we're targeting about 6 members that we are allocated for young graduates in need of work experience and for the need of postgraduate studies in industrial treatment. And these plans will address the skills protein, we begin to address the skills protein within the sector. Talking to some of our priorities in the 2009-2010, one of the key words that we'll be hearing from us is the development of a one-stop shop. Instead of consolidating our funding structures, and I think in my presentation, we had the various programs, helping start cars, in my company. Moving forward, we want to ensure that all these programs are consolidated into one program, so that our impact and our effectiveness on the ground is maximized. And therefore, we are working towards this process of consolidation, our funding structure, the financial services to the intercolonial support. Therefore, we implementing this national funding facility will address all these related public funding needs of our emerging farmers, forging linkages to the various financial institutions, so to strengthen the structural relationships, but to ensure that sustainability and efficiency are delivered of financial services through the cloud of all Maputo financial intermediaries at all levels. And this will ensure that we will increase access to the support to capacity to business initiatives and access to finance. So this one stop will compress and consolidate the following products and the services that we currently offer. I've talked to my sister, I've talked to the extension recovery plan and the commodity relationship, the emergency grant. But we're also moving ahead and combining some of the grants that come from the rural development and then reform program under the Fertility and Production Land Acquisition Grant, plus under the Land and Agrarian Reform Program, the LRAD, under the land acquisition for sustainable settlement, the land, and the restitution settlement support grant. We are also working closely with the fisheries and the policy group to identify all the grants that are within the program, so to consolidate them into one program. Therefore, the next slide is also a tutorial presentation of how all these programs, all the funding structures will be consolidated into one program. It also was announced to the honorable members that the new program is now referred to as the Integrated Agricultural Forestry and Fisheries Development Program. And these are the various pillars that we'll be looking into, the 6 pillars that relate to information and knowledge management, your technical and the advocacy role, the financial services, the training and capacity building, the marketing and business development, and also the on-farm and off-farm structure. We are looking into 4 categories of interventions and of our clients. We'll be looking into ensuring that the hungry and the malnourished, especially in the rural areas, are targeted. We'll also be targeting your household and subsistence farmers. Here we give the example of the Indian Seeds Project. We also be talking to farm and to the intercolonials, which will respond mostly to your to BEE, to BEE initiatives, and also looking beyond our borders in terms of promoting our team. So it is through this integrated agricultural policy and research program that we see integrating our work. And I remember also what we wanted to share with you information on some of the programs that they implemented, particularly within the Department of Agriculture, that affect us mostly in the provinces, that is the CAS. It will not be too long on this presentation, but I just want to show a few slides showing the progress that has been made over time. The next slide. This next slide, it says to us, what has been taking here before, citing a number of challenges that has experienced in implementing some of the problems. This slide shows us, honorable members, that between 2007 to 2008, there's been marked improvement in the implementation of our programs on the ground. And this has been a result, because of the oversight that has been provided both at the national and also at the local level, that our systems have begun to improve. All now that we need to do is to consolidate and learn from the lessons learned over time, but definitely there are good signs that we have improved from the 62% when the program started in 2004 to 2008, where our success rates are almost now at 91%. We also just wanted to show that in terms of the amount that has been spent, while the challenges in some others in few provinces, but at least the facts to show that there are some provinces that are going in up to 100% to 98% to 91%, and so those some provinces where the challenges, especially for example, KwaZulu Natal, a province, that we shall be working in those provinces to get a better understanding of some of the challenges that they have. But in total, we are presenting a picture that shows a lot of improvement and ensuring that the challenges that we have previously will also be addressed. However, the challenges still remain, honorable members, and we are as a department, together with the provinces, working out on some of these challenges, but because we should still nonetheless highlight them, especially that the CAS funding that we had did not cover, was inadequate, and also was only focusing on the infrastructure pillar. So the issue of ensuring that there is an increased budget and the allocation of at the provincial level for the work to support our development will be an issue that for debate within the honorable members. We have to ensure that we improve on the allocation of the cultural special for infrastructure. Before we move closely to the budget, the next slide, honorable members, is just for the information. I will not go through them. Most of them will be in your talk to, and then move on to the budget, and we ask the UN Center to give a quick summary on the budget.
Thank you, DG, Chairperson and honorable members. We deal now with the estimates of national expenditure 2019 for both 2023 agriculture. As you know, in the EME, agriculture is still for the Department of Agriculture and Forestry is still with WAF, and so is fishery still with the Department of Education and Environmental Affairs. Now, in the EME allocation for 2019, the NPF allocation is 1947931, and then special programs, transfer payments, more land care 51417, and cost 628410 million. Total then 2627758. Plus additional funding that were allocated by National Treasury and appropriated by Parliament is for the National Agricultural Marketing Council, and the additional amount of 3 million. Then an inflation-related adjustment on compensation of employees, 20970, and inflation-related adjustment for the payments for capital assets, 1508, and then on capital transfers, 2688, and then for the special projects, Lima, the CIMA projects grant, it was 50 million 5000,
And then for CASP, the Comprehensive Agricultural Support Program, there was an inflation-related adjustment allocated by National Treasury of 86984. And then for CELP fires, in terms of the Agricultural Disaster Management Grant, an amount of 60 million was additionally allocated as a once-off. This was actually requested by the department in an adjustment estimate of 0809, but was not approved by National Treasury and now only allocated in 0910 as a once-off. So the additional funds in total amounts to 225150. Then there were cuts by National Treasury, less adjustments to the baselines. That was 60149 plus the previous cut. So the total cut is actually 75. The total appropriation then for Vote 23 is 2792759, 2.7 billion. If we quickly look at the summary per economic classification, or per program, sorry, per program of the department, program one is administration. That normally is the Minister of Agriculture, the Deputy Minister, the Corporate Financial Services, Division Operations Management, and Office Administration, and we're now going to compare 20809 with 2910, the current E&E. There was a 9.1% increase from 356 million to 388 million. If we look at Program 2, Production and Resources Management, where we have the two sub-programs, Agriculture Production and Engineering Resources Management, there was an increase of 15.8% from 259 million to 300 million, and this was majorly because of the Lima Latima grant of 50 million that was approved by National Treasury. Then an active third program is Agricultural Support Services. We have two sub-programs, Livelihood Development Support and Sector Services and Research. There was an increase of 9.7% from 1,546,466 million to 1,696,136 million. In other words, 1.5 billion to 1.6, a 9.7% increase. And this was mainly because of the once off 60 million and then the cost allocation.
Sorry to interrupt. I must take this minister I must take this opportunity to welcome you, Minister.
My apologies, Chair. The Cabinet Committee on Foreign Affairs detained me for the President's visit to Tripoli, Libya. That's why I'm very late. I would not undermine you or disrespect you at all. Okay, my apologies.
Okay, thank you, Minister. I think I will give you at least a word after this budget.
Thank you.
Just carry on.
Thank you, Chairperson. So that 9.7% increase is due to the once-off disaster for CELP fire 60 million allocation and the adjustment for cost, inflation adjustment of 87 million. Then program 4 is trade and we still in the Department of Economic Development, but in the E&E National Treasury would like to be known as Agricultural Development. Here we have for the two sub-programs, Trade, Marketing Development, and Economic and Statistical Services. Here we have a 12.2% increase from 68 million to 77 million. Program 5 on agriculture, which is the last program, Food Safety and Biosecurity. There, the two sub-programs, Plant Health and Inspection Services and Food and Veterinary Services, we had an increase of 8.8% from 304 million to 330 million. And then the total then initially allocated by Parliament was 2.5 billion for 809 and a 10.2% overall increase to 2.7 billion for 910. That, if you, the 10.2% amounts to 258,088 million. If we look now at the summary for economic classification, Chair, then on compensation of employees, there was a 10.9% increase. This is carried through. from 809 to 910, from 585 million to 649. The goods and services is 2.6%. But take into account here what the cut by National Treasury total on goods and services is operational funding of 75 million. So it was from 435 to 424 then, 2.6% minus. Transfers and subsidies. Our transfers and subsidies consist of the cost payments, disasters, and the Lima and Sima. And there it was 14.4%, 14.4% increase from 1.4 billion to 1.6 billion. Our payments for capital assets also was a decrease in the procurement of capital equipment, and that it's a 15.6%, and also some cuts of National Treasury decreased, so from 39 million to 53. Again, to the total of 2.5 billion to 2.7, or in overall 10.2%. If you look at graphs, say in terms of the Vote 23 or agriculture allocation since 94-95 up to 2009-10, then you will see that in 94-95, the total allocation was in the order of 1.4 billion. The lowest was in 99-2000. There was a decline. And the lowest was in 99-2000 when it was 700 million. And then gradually from 2000 to 2001 up to 2009-10, it was a gradually increase in the parliamentary allocation for agriculture to 2.7 at the moment. Just another way to look at the budget, if you look at that pie graph, where you will see that in terms of the program, we have program 4 is 3%, program 5 is 12% of the budget, program 1 14%, program 2 11%, and program 3 is about 60%. This is where the grant payments are. Then if we look at our in another way in terms of economic classification, then we look at the transfers, as we have said, that consists of the major part, 61% of the budget. Compensation of employees is the second part, 23%. Goods and services, operational funding, not 15%, and capital, 1%. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you, DG, for the presentation. Before I'll give it to the minister. Minister, we, as a committee, laid a complaint to the department about the document. We didn't receive the presentation document. We just received today. And it's a thick document to us. I don't know whether the committee will be able to ask the question for this document because it's too thick for us. So we let the department made an apology for that, but we laid that complaint as the committee. So I will hand over to you, Minister, at least to please ask away.
Thank you, Chairperson, the members of the committee. I am happy that the committee has picked up the problems with the department presenting documents timelessly. I have the same problem. My documents are either given to me as I am on the way into a meeting or the day before I have a meeting. I have addressed yesterday a meeting from directors to the DG and the DG to in fact implore upon them that the turnaround strategy, even in responding to questions, has to be due date. I have complained also about the standard of documents. It is presented to me very untidily and very shoddily, even when it comes from the DG's office. It is presented to me in a very unprofessional manner, and I have raised this complaint. I am even happy that today you have seen this. I was presented a budget speech to the National Assembly without reason. I was also presented a budget vote, which was a paraphrasing of my introduction of the strategic plan. It was like lifting huge sections of my strategic plan, the forward, was put into my budget speech. The support I got from the department was to say that they had handed it over to the minister. I ended up the night before my budget speech rewriting my speech. Myself was the help of my own office, because it was handed to me in that way. So I'm very glad that we have picked up that it is a problem. The problem is not insurmountable. I have raised it with the senior manager, and with the new approach to governance led by President Zuma, it is totally unacceptable. And there is a new government which is doing things differently, but an old administration who behaves as if it is business as usual. Promised the DG, behaving as if it's business as usual, and I do take strong exception to the department behaving as if it's business as usual. Then, honorable members, I think that we have explained to you our comprehensive rural development strategy, in which agriculture acts as a catalyst for economic development in the provinces and in rural towns. We have to look at reprioritizing our budget to fit our new priorities. And I think that is still an opportunity that we have to bring to our budget. I am of the opinion that this SIP document presented to you for the first time,
yes,
and presented to me as I was leaving my office from Pretoria last night, without any interaction from them to the presentation to you. I have not even sanctioned this document before it was presented to me. So I would like to concur with you that it is a caller, or and that we give you as a committee an opportunity to study the document, and that we avail ourselves to be returned to the committee. That is my humblest appeal to you. I know it will take time from the honorable members in this already very tough schedule, because all budgets have to be completed and the program is very tight. That is only one proposal. In any case, if that is not acceptable to you, Madam Chairperson, that we either have to proceed with now, but we are entirely in the end, and we are reporting to you. It is not the other way around.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Because the committee have decided to turn back the officials, but just because of the time frame, and we have got some budget votes next week, we said at least we must have, no matter we're going to interrogate the judgment, but we must have the briefing, because next week we've got our budget votes in the plenary. So just because of that, otherwise we will find us nobody here, because of if we have got time, we said no, they must go back and come. That's because of the time frame. We couldn't turn them back. So that's why we appeal to you at least to monitor the office, at least to have the documents in time, to read the documents, at least to have, because these are our priorities as the department, also the committee. So I don't know whether you have something to say, because I want to hand over to the members if they pick some few questions, if there are any.
Madam Chairperson, I'd rather expect you to hand over to the members, and once they ask those questions, I shall open the question.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Honourable Members, I think you have listened to the mouthful presentations from the department, and with this thick document, I don't know whether you have picked some questions, then I'll take the first round to, and then the second round is the end. I'll start with you, Honourable Minister. I'll start with Mr. General.
Honourable Chairperson, thank you. Yes, a lot of information in a short space of time. Also, to our Honourable Minister, congratulations on the appointment of the Minister of Agriculture, etc. Coming from the Northern Cape, being the number one MEC for agriculture in South Africa, there's confidence for this country regarding its agriculture. One thing that is important, Honourable Chairperson, is does the budget address the priorities? It's difficult to see here because it's not unpacked. It's on one page, so it is difficult to go into it as it is presented here. The other point is that we must see what we can do better and what we can do smarter with the budget as we have seen it here. The Northern Cape, and I'm going to speak on behalf of my province, two main rivers in this country run through the Northern Cape, the Orange River and the Vaal River. The Honourable Minister is very familiar with the issue of the pollocks lodging, blocking problem we've got there, and assisted us, and that is my constituency, political constituency, where I was deployed until the election. It's the biggest irrigation scheme in the southern hemisphere in the world, you find that. It's not about 483 farmers, it's about 120,000 people, and most of them are poor people. Getting water from the Vaal River and the channel. On the chairperson, the problem arises in the Vaal Triangle, southern part of Gauteng, in Vereeniging Vanderbijl Park, Sasselburg, where gemors in the people. And we are picking up the problems at the bottom end of the river. It flows past the Kempto, Atswat, Kahoon, on its way to Douglas, where it flows into the Orange River. That's part of the problem, is the quality of the water that we put into the soil. Plus, the fertilizer that also goes into the soil creates the problem, and it spills over to the other part of the irrigation scheme coming from Groblersloop on its way to Kakamas. I'm giving you the picture because it's affecting poor people. That's the point. And we requested, and thank you for that, that the lower part of the Orange River be connected to the project in the Vaal River to follow up the waterlogging problem. The question I'm asking is that the allocation is mentioned here, but not the figure. Are there any funding coming from national to assist the provincial department of agriculture in the Northern Cape? The export of meat, especially goat meat. The eastern countries in the Asian bloc, they eat goat meat. I was privileged to visit India and so on. We met our colleagues at the CPA conference. We've got quality goat meat, yes, but the problem is we can't supply in the demand. And the market is there. And it's an excellent way to get our emerging farmers into this program to be part and to become commercial farmers. Chairperson, while I was going to the induction here, we have to supply our own food, etc. In the evening, you go to the supermarket, you look at the box, long life milk, and there's a child pictured on the box, on the holder. It's imported from Southern America. I was quite shocked that we can't deliver or produce enough milk within South Africa when it's imported from Brazil. The same with turkeys from Brazil. Coming to the point of opportunities, what is there to get our poor people into these programs? Other minister also on in the Northern Cape on our West Coast mariculture. We've got a mariculture plant in Port Nolloth, funded by the Northern Cape government to an organization called FOMDA. A lot of money is being allocated to FOMDA. But if you see the money that goes into FOMDA and you see what's coming out on the other side, there's a discrepancy. And the work it was supposed to create for the poor people, coming back to that point, because we went to the election and they said this manifesto is for the poor people of the government, really fun. That must be relooked, and I want to propose, Chairperson, that if there's time, that we pay an oversight visit to the area of Port Nolloth. Actually, the whole West Coast, Honourable Bay, Alexander Bay, as well as claims here. Regarding the mariculture program, because here's opportunity. Here's opportunity. Another point is, one of the chairpersons, aquaculture, fresh fish. We've got a serious problem in South Africa. Fish that we have in the sea is declining. And yes, the previous governments before 1994, they didn't pay attention to it. They did nothing. And now we are picking the fish up. To have a re-look at our freshwater fish programs, especially in our dams, if you go to Switzerland, Austria, the countries in Europe that got lakes. They call it Zeers. You see in the Zeer, what is that? They harvest freshwater fish that to feed their people. And it's cheaper to do it that way. There are loose projects in the country. Some in the Free State, some in the Limpopo, Mpumalanga, southern part of Namibia, and you're also in the Northern Cape, in Mapukong, Kemus, and Kakamas, that we can join, link it up. It's a cheaper way to give our people food and protein.
I'll give you the last, at least three questions will be enough, and then we'll take the second round.
Then the last concern on the chairperson page, 36, spending trends in terms of the grants of CAS, 60.290 million rand has not been spent. That's money coming from Laura. That's the serious thing. It indicates to us our poor people who suffering. 60.290 million has been spent from June to then. One or another way to establish a food guard, one house, one vegetable garden. I'm sorry that I have speaking on behalf of my brother.
Yeah, I know. Darren, just come this way. Darren.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'd also like to welcome the minister here and thank you for coming to the meeting. There's a lot here of information that's got to be digested, so I'm not going to go into problems in my province or whatever. Just from an information point of view, I would like to request the acting CEO to give us more info. If you go to page 42,
we got the summer research program, some of these items in the budget, like the agricultural support services, trade and agricultural development, are made up of sub-programs. So in other words, those figures we've seen there are made up of various sub-programs. Please could we have those sub-programs, and we can see, you know, exactly where these things spent under the various items there. $15 million, I'm having a look, was added for agricultural disasters. I just asked whether that's enough for certain provinces get back by fires and floods and all that from time to time. I was under the impression that in certain of provinces that also have a disaster fund, do they contribute also towards this, or if there is a disaster in a province, are these payments for arguments like cell phones, are these made directly out of the agricultural department's budget? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honourable?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Thank you very good, my minister there. Mr. Tina Timak, thank you very much. I saw you are very much acquainted with the problems we're facing in the Northern Cape, not only in the Northern Cape, but throughout the country as far as agricultural issues are concerned. My first question would be, there is a line here which talks about promotion of agricultural productivity. Now, I think in order for you to be able to increase production of any project that you may have, it means that you must have the mechanism in place, you must have a view as to how you are going to. Now, what's us in the Northern Cape, especially concerning livestock, especially large livestock, we have a sickness, a disease that kills our cattle. Every year, at a certain period of the year, called anthrax. And we really get support from agriculture, but it is not sufficient, because in the Northern Cape, you get probably in a particular region, or so many regions combined together, you get one person who has to round up that whole area to vaccinate and help it. But in the process, cattle are dying. For instance, last year, this very year that we are coming from, if you could be in a particular area that is called the Campbell area, you would see carcasses of cattle in the field lying around. Why? Because of the lack of sufficient vaccination in time and having more people to be able to cover the area before this thing attacks. Now, I want to know, what is the department having in mind in trying to, you know, to help the people that their livestock not die in such a, you know, mad manner, whereby they can be vaccinated in time, so that at least we can be able to increase agricultural capacity as far as meat is concerned. And the other question, Mr. Chair, I would like the department to go more detail on the issue of MAPISA. I don't know this MAPISA, I've just heard about it. At a very long distance, today I'm sitting here, I'm hearing again about MAPISA. It seems to me it's some funding institution or some sort. But in my area, I have never come across someone who said that was a help, financial help for MAPISA. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member.
Honourable Member.
Yes, thanks, Chairperson. Also, I would like to really appreciate the presence of the minister in the meeting. And we hope that next time as well, maybe the deputy minister will also really afford us his presence in the meeting, so that we benefit from the intentions of the leadership in the department. But the input that the minister has made creates a problem to me,
how one moves forward in this particular meeting. In relation to the presentation that we are having in front of us.
Mm.
If I heard properly, I think that the minister has not functioned in the presentation. Now, we are sitting with a document with which list activities that are happening in the, within the department, but which are not organized and approved for presentation to ourselves. And then it becomes very difficult whether one needs to actually interrogate the information that contains in the document, other, whether or not to try and assist that the documents that will eventually be sanctioned should contain the kind of information that we require. That's what I was asking. One would request exactly that unlike the activities that have been listed, there's a lot of statements that have been listed in the document, lots and lots of statements, which many of them actually have a serious implications on financial resources. Now the question is, when one actually tries to digest this statement, whether we have got money to support, whether we have got money to support all these statements, I do believe that we are going to have a lot of problems because all the statements that have been made, they have got financial implications, serious financial implications, and they only have limited resources. It is not important, or it doesn't help us to list all sorts of things, but which we cannot support with the current budget. There is a need that they should be prioritized, and then we should talk about issues that we are having more than 50% chance of implementing them and financing them. Otherwise, then we may be behaving like municipalities which are producing a document called IDP.
Mm.
Yeah, they just dream all sorts of things there. And when you put monetary terms to all those things, you find that it is about 10 times, 20 times their annual budget.
Yeah.
And I just want to indicate that we really don't need that, because that's just going to keep us busy but not actually producing anything on the ground. And also there is an element of the cut and paste in the presentation. And I'm very, you know, unfortunately I'm very sensitive to cut and paste. The presentation that is presented somewhere else, when you get input, it must be adjusted if you agree with the input. And next time around, then it must be a better input that talks to what people are saying outside there. And one also needs to say, on the strategic document, the minister reiterated the five priorities. And this presentation must help us to relate to those. Must help us to relate to those. How are we seeing ourselves in the Department of Agriculture and the rest, creating work, decent work, and talking to health as well from the agricultural side, the rural development, and then we've got another department that is doing that, how you avoid complication and how you integrate. Because every time I think wherever there are two people that are supposed to do one thing which involves spending money, usually nothing happens. Everybody keeps the money and say the other one will do, and eventually nothing happens. And we have got a situation that may arise between this department and the one of rural development. So we need to be convinced that you're not going to have run-ins eventually impacting on our community. But Chairperson, I would request that few things that need to be looked at. And one of them that they may not be answered today because they are not properly organized as the minister would expect them. There were programs like Working on Fire, Working for Water. Where are they now after this reconfiguration? And then the Mafisa Fund, are we getting value for the money? Is it making the difference? Next time when they come or when they prepare any some sort of document, they must indicate to us what is Mafisa Fund doing and where are they using it? Who are those and are we successful? And then the issue in relation to the deracialization of the agricultural sector. One needs to hear on that specific one. And the issue of this OSD thing, when you look at the increase, I think the 9% I think that we're talking about here is the nominal increase on the budget on administration. Probably the real increase may be about 6% or 5%. And then now with the OSD being a buzzword nowadays, and which also has of strikes or mass action, how are we affected as a department? I think, Chairperson, those are, the price fixing. The price fixing within agriculture. The bread and all these other things, tomatoes, when prices of tomatoes goes up, of milk goes up, everywhere where you go from different suppliers, but you see almost the prices go almost equal. How are we going to combat that? And then if we can be informed, and also how you relate, you will be relating to whatever is called competition, whatever, how you relate it to actually make sure that it is. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Member. I've got also my few questions. But I think the first of most, I think I'm from the Eastern Cape. There is some irrigation schemes in the Eastern Cape, but now they are not in use. The Bamada irrigation scheme, the Ngoha irrigation scheme. So I don't know what's going on, and that if the department can just give us what is the what is this going on in that schemes? Because there's a lot of vegetables that can be produced in those areas. The other question I want to know: how does the department plan to regulate the planting of biofuels? This is planting of food crops within the confines of limited resources, such as land, water, and climate. The other one, I think, about the disaster management, I want to know the strategies that are in place to address the climate change prediction and its impact on agricultural production. I think I must stop there for the first time, at least. Those are the most true questions, at least there are the second round that is going to come up. Yes, I'll hand over to you, DG, or the minister, whatever.
Thank you very much for the question about my team here, and I'm calling on some of them to respond to some of the questions. And the second I'd like to call on, we can provide them to explain on what the first question I got asked by the honorable members about what the words that got me in the United States in terms of supporting some of these.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just with
with regard to the project that we're having at CAF, we've got a number of projects.
Sorry, can you see that check this one through? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Well, let me start with the question from the honourable member from that talks to budget. The budget for CAF, as we're speaking now, they indicated this year is 91%. But we're not allowed to say that some provinces like Northern Cape and KZN were able to spend all their money, at least registered in the new year, which we could not put it there. When we pitch on all those sectors, CAF has spent over 95% of the funds. But that at the past 16, the funds appeared later. And also, what is important with regard to certain projects that we are doing, and with regard to CAF, our project addresses all these livestock modification, the livestock modification that we're talking about. For example, this is the strategy going on forward now that we ensure that we do area based and community based. Projects on the ground, and CAF is focusing mainly on those projects. Because as you are mentioning, it's a good market for both. We are addressing that field, and they are budgeted for by the province. And also, with regard to the Balahat, we allocated funds on the ground to Igma the Tuma. And there are specific plans to ensure that the Balahat area is the scheme itself is addressed and
upgraded
on the ground.
In the program, we are responsible for ensuring that we negotiate protocols with different countries to have before we can export. We have to agree that, for instance, the problem of the regulation on the export of food. There is a challenge, particularly with regard to the Middle East. And it seems that we thought initially that the issue was around the understanding on the food and mouth disease control. We cannot export most of the products in the Middle East. We had only Saudi Arabia, which was actually accepting our animal and animal products from the country, including the gold. However, when we had an outbreak of foot and mouth disease in the Mobani area in 2005, we actually tried to negotiate with them, particularly that they open the market and ensure that they accept our goods. We also invited them, because normally what we do when a country doubts your system, what we do is that we invite them to come and examine our animal health status in the country. There's that challenge within the World Organization of Animal Health, which actually regulates or give guidance on the export of animals and animal products. Now, there's that challenge in that chapter of the guidance of the OIE, where within that chapter you find that there's that negative perception towards the foot and mouth disease. And that is why now, during the last year, the SADC member states, because it's very difficult then to negotiate this as a country, individual country. Now, SADC member states put up a proposal to the OIE to change the chapter of the foot and mouth disease chapter to ensure that we are in a position to export most of our animals and animal products. I think one of the biggest challenges is the foot and mouth disease. And then the other diseases, for instance, which is what we're looking at, for instance, anthrax, in the Northern Cape particularly. What we have picked up, anthrax is a bacterial disease. Let me start there. Arthritis is a bacterial disease. When it gets to the ground, like for instance, when an animal dies because of anthrax, it actually results in the animal having a lot of blood coming through all the orifices. And what happens if contamination occurs on the ground? That those bacteria, they form spores. Now this spore stays in the ground for many years, for more than 40 years. Now one of the challenges which we have picked up, we don't know, it's not only on the animal disease. I'll give you another example of a plant disease. One of the challenges which we have picked up is that in these bacteria which form spores, they stay in the ground. One thing which we have picked up in the Northern Cape and the Western Cape, where the anthrax disease had occurred in many years ago, some of the things like, for instance, the excavation in terms of exploration for mining, we picked up that the soil there, I think, is during the excavation, the spores are taken out of the ground, and they get exposed, and when there's water, there's that leaching into the water, and the animals then drink the water and become infected. That's the biggest challenge which we're doing. We are discussing that with the mining department to actually give certain guidelines so that in those particular areas where they have been identified as being, you know, infected in many years ago with anthrax, it's said to be certain proteins or features. But what is interesting also through science also, in the Western Cape, one thing which we have picked up also is that the soil level, the soil, the pH, you know, the soil becomes the alkaline or acidic. The soil alkalinity in the Western Cape also has resulted with the issue of this recurrence of anthrax. So there's that challenge, particularly with regard to anthrax. But the issues of the market, in terms of both, particularly to the Middle East and Egypt, is mainly around the issue of foot and mouth disease. Now, on disaster management, we do have plans in terms of disaster management on climate change, because I think one of the issues which I mentioned also is that, you know, one other issue which we have picked up is the impact of climate change on the outbreak of diseases. So what is occurring currently, there's a trend where in those areas where we never had diseases, like for instance, give you an example of the outbreak of Rift Valley fever. We had never in the country had outbreak of Rift Valley fever. But it just occurred in the late last year and beginning of the year. Just basically, the suspicion is that because of the climate change, where now there's the air, cold air moving and the warmer air, you get the movement of flies and mosquitoes which are transmitting the diseases and resulting in actually those diseases occurring. Now, what we intend to do in the department, we are going to resuscitate the compulsory vaccination, particularly for the emerging sector. It's going to be a targeted program for the emerging sector, because within the commercial sector, they already use to vaccinate their animals. We'll be having this targeted program. Honorable member, to answer your question, that we'll be having that targeted program for the program for the emerging sector. We have identified with one of the state entities, which is the support biological products that will help diseases. Our priority, what we have said, which we are still putting together the program to actually, our deadline is, we said that it will be next month, where it will be put through the MTF cycle for funding. Because we are getting these five diseases, we took them as a priority because of their nature and because of the fact that they impact on humans. Because with anthrax, when people eat the meat, which is infected with anthrax, they can die. We've been conducting together with the provinces the I want to give you also another example of disease which is occurring due to climate change, is the one of American fowl poop, which has been occurring here in the Western Cape, which is actually due to that also. It's a similar situation which we are having. But we have got the mitigation factors for disaster management where everything is connected. We have early warning system which we are using community radios to educate the farmers on some of the
issues. I remember that I'd like to touch on a few of the issues, questions that have been raised on my sister in particular. We have to make a different presentation on my sister, but my sister is a fund that is related with a two main elements. One of the elements is a savings scheme where we're working together with the cooperative
ensuring that they are able to use some to utilize the resources that are made available from Africa for some of the enterprises and policy into vegetable farming. So that still operates more or less with this savings element within it. You said that some of the challenges that we had last year were that we did not have enough entities that were accredited suppliers, especially within the provinces. The main plan for this year is that we have 10, we located 10 new institutions who will be able to provide the full support, especially to the cooperatives and to some of the existing business initiatives. But moving forward, as we have indicated, as well, we not only talk about Mafika, but we talk of this comprehensive support package, where, for example, if you've got a business initiative, if it is the financing element of that initiative requires a loan element, which will be coming from Mafika, then it is brought down from that facility. If it requires a grant that could be coming from CARS, then it will be able to draw down from that facility. So yes, but we have had successful stories, especially in the Eastern Cape province, where one of our agents, Ubimba, had the success in terms of implementing the Mafika. We did have challenges that, especially with the other agents that were translated to future transparency through the land bank, where there were some challenges. But now we've got an outlet in Mpumalanga, we've got an outlet in Limpopo, and we've also got an outlet in Gauteng with the different agencies that have now been supporting in terms of the implementation. Well, the next question relating to whether does this budget address the priorities. I think in the strategic plan, in the document itself, we do indicate and show some of those expected outputs and the target. But also, we did highlight in our presentation that the budget has never been sufficient. So we really have to identify some of those priorities. There's more that we would like to do, but just because of the budgetary concerns, we're not able to. But in presenting our key result areas and the objectives of the sector, we've identified, as we say, food security is always remains our priority, our food safety, and our cultural support program. So the program that we are working on within the financial year, we have been able to use the resources, the limited resources that we have to limit some of those the targets to at least for us to work with the budget that we have. On the 62 million on the understanding on cash, we have also really indicated that some of the challenges, and I think in this particular instance, as Mr. Ngeleni explained, because some of the commitments that have been made, especially around December and January and February, the end of the financial year, will only be reflected in the next financial year in April. So there is a bit of discrepancy in that figure. But nonetheless, we would be working with the problem that 62 million is a very high figure in terms of understanding. And we picked up a few provinces where there were serious challenges, but the other provinces that seem to have masterminded the system in terms of both in terms of procurement and in terms of providing the technical support to the project, like Mpumalanga, where we seem to be having better outcomes. But we'll be working, especially with the other three provinces, where there still seems to be some challenges. With respect to the food, the high food prices, we're working very, very closely with the Department of the Trade and Industry, with the department is the leader of the interministerial task team that is into the high food prices. Part of that committee includes the members of the competition commission, and we've identified various commodities of various areas of intervention. Mm-hmm. I think the resistance report on the fertilizer has already come through. Then the food monitoring committee has been established, and it needs report, a quarterly report. And what has also happened is that it also provides the decision between the prices in your rural areas and also the trends within your urban areas. So that is information is closely monitored and picking it up from some of the output or the results of the competition committee. Commission, we're also beginning to understand that the supermarkets along the value chain are beginning to respond to some of this issue. I think you've responded to most of the questions. I think the last one is that was the clarification on the waiting for water and the waiting on transport. And I have my colleagues to
Honourable Member, you raised the issue about the waiting on fire program and the waiting for water. We can explain that the waiting for water program is still going to remain with the Department of Water and Environmental Affairs. The waiting on fire program is being looked at as part of the transitional work that has to be done in moving the function from the old department to the new Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry. I hope that they answered that question. Thank you, Chair.
And can the final response to be on the breakdown of the bike itself and personal response?
Thank you, DG, Chairperson, members. The breakdown, the honorable member there asked, what is the breakdown of the program? Now, if you look at the program two, this is all reflected from the EME Book of National Treasury. There we will find that you have the two programs that you always have in a program that you search explain, and then sub programs for the different lines that is part of that program. Now, I'm only going to concentrate on the line programs, sub programs. Now, in program two, production and resources management, you have got agricultural production. Now for 2019, it is 99.8 million, and then for the sub-program engineering resource management is 198.3 million. If we go there.
Okay.
It's the original document that we have.
Yes.
That we can be
this is the National Treasury document on the EN.
Oh,
that
was the EN, yes.
Then on program three, your agricultural support services, sub-program line limits development support, the amount for 2019 is 905 million. Sector services and research, 788 million. If we look at program four, there we have the programs trade and marketing development, that's 52 million, and economic and statistical services, 22. And then on program 5, food safety and biosecurity, two sub-programs. First of all, plant health and inspection services, 194.8 million, and food and veterinary services, 133.8 million.
Thank you. I think I didn't receive any response about the NOFA and the Kamata irrigation scheme.
The question with regard to NOFA and Kamata, at some stages we support services on the ground. They also requested that funds like CAF, they should be supporting that. I think, if I could remember well, the Kamata in the last financial year put an amount of 7 million into assisting that the small businesses that are there to come up and do some work. I'm not sure as we speak now what are they doing in terms of going forward and ensuring that all the systems, the systems in the
Okay. Sit there. there's no problem. Shoot them, that's it. Because maybe we'll have some follow-up questions. Okay, let us.
Yeah, I think they have up to now, whether maybe they are delegating up, I'm not sure, because I requested some, whether this always be a thing and cause implication to the department. I hope that the principal will talk to you, but if she delegates up, it's fine.
Yeah,
and let them have some.
That's why Honorable said there's some questions that is outstanding.
Yes. Yeah, probably another last point that one could say with regard to support of CAS in the last year and in the last year. A formal report will be submitted to the committee so that the individual project that we have supported.
Just a follow-up question in this issue. Is there any monitoring in the provinces? We're supposed to monitor the provinces that if we have spent the money has do the right job that we have allocated to?
Yes.
The monitoring. Yes, the national is supposed to monitor the provinces.
Yes. The national department is the official on the ground that keep up progress on monthly basis and NIS and work with the officials of the department that are implementing the program. Presently we have about 40 officials that we are about seeing in this process, which is a very, very, very small capacity to ensure that we need money. And my office is in the department. Is also doing a minimum monitoring on the ground. But so far, this kind of monitoring and the opportunity and the coordination that we are doing has improved. If you look at when it started from 2007 thus far, and you would see that there's a lot of pickup in terms of the spirit as well, and there's a lot of pickup on the quality of projects that we implementing on the ground. I think the issues that were there, that we are correcting now, has been the parachuting of projects. Projects that are not a plan on an area based or community-based manner, which resulted in projects expanded now and then go off in some time. So this is a great improvement in how we approach projects now going forward and how we implement projects.
Okay, thank you. I don't want to have the dialogue, but I'm not certain with your response. I'm not certain with your response, but I need some. If you can supply with the report and the report at least, because supply the report with that, because we must do those follow-ups, because those are the priorities of the government. At least we must have that follow-up as a committee to check if these projects are in use. Thank you. Is there any questions at the end? Okay, yes.
Chairperson, we're still on the first round. My question regarding mariculture, aquaculture. That's my first question. Didn't you get an answer from the official regarding the support the department is giving to follow-up? It was a fluffy answer. Is there any detail? Are we talking about 13 million, 30 million, 10 million? What support is there? Because it's a long-term program. We can't do it in 12 months if it's possible. It's my concession where I was deployed, so I know what I'm talking about. The Honourable Minister visited that area frequently. My feature was launched in Yatiantra, not Francisco. And I appreciate what was done there, but I think for a comedy set, to unpack, give us some more detail. What we can do. Regarding Chairperson, the three officials of the province, the Northern Cape is 33% of South Africa.
Mm.
three officials to do the monitoring there is a challenge. I'm telling you,
challenge.
You know what we're talking about.
Mm.
The police state, etc., the Eastern Cape, is a huge problem. And those officials will have to rely on the information they get from the extension officers who are deployed in region. And I want to plead that with the department that they must relook their duty sheets to visit the areas more frequently. Because I go on their trail. That's why I do my work. To do all the time. They're not getting everywhere. I can tell you that they're not getting everywhere. They give you the names, etc. But I won't do it yet. The other point on the chat question, it's regarding of the agricultural high schools in the country, in the Northern Cape, there's two. One in Kakamak, there's one in Yakento. The utilization to utilize these schools by the Department of Agriculture to train emerging farmers. Because what do we want? We want them to become commercial farmers. And all the facilities are in that institution. There. Tractors, you name it, everything is there. To train these people and put them onto the land. We are fortunate in Jan Kentrock, it's in the same area for research station. It's like a university, if I can call it that. Which is not a university, but you can utilize it better. You've got a success story in the Eastern Cape. I saw the document. I got it from teachers. I gave it to them. The principal of the high school, of the agricultural high school in Yankempo, he gave it a success story in the Eastern Cape. And what is happening there can be put into place, implemented in the other provinces. The advantage of those people.
Okay. Yes, sir.
They cannot develop further because internationally they cannot compete with farmers from other overseas countries. Why? Because those farmers that side have been subsidized by their government. I want to hear from the department, what is the department's view in an issue of subsidizing? My other question is still around Fall Husky. That's a very beautiful running scheme, still out there. If you can go there, Chair, one day I'm sure we will take you there. You see how it is structured. It is structured in such a way that the other side is the commercial wise. And the other side is a huge community of Dawu. And this water is drawn from the same river that runs through Dawu. But the supply of this water only goes to the so-called white farmer. It does not even touch this huge Dawu community, which is plus minus 300,000 people. And you
on the government. There was, and one of the colleges that the one of the members talking about is in that area. During the Kutubana government, there was a development of agricultural schemes going on in Dawood. And since the destruction of the Kutubana government, all those things have just died. We don't know what is the reason. And on top of that, within the same area, there is a big dam, which is called the Fiscal Dam. Chair, that dam, it starts from the front stoop of the Dawood people, Dawood area people. It's a huge dam, but not even a drop of water is being given to that community. That water all goes into, from that dam, into the commercial part. So one would ask a question as, what is the possibility, what is the department planning with the new approach, with the new administration, to expand the powerhouse agricultural scheme into this huge town area. And people in that area, they have a beautiful land, irrigable. We just need infrastructure, training, as the honorable member said, and that training will not even take, you know, people to a far distance. It is within the town area. Thank you.
Do you have anything?
Just simply to repeat, I just required information on the intentions of de-racializing the agricultural sector. Because when you hear a leader of whatever is called the agricultural union, then speaks for the white farmer.
Mm-hmm.
When it is not about the white farmer, quiet. We must have a dedicated intention of actually de-racializing the agriculture. But I don't know whether that is a priority within the Department of Agriculture. And I still want to know whether we have got challenges in the department due to the OSD.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody can just simply give me a small explanation whether I'm worried by mistake or it's a genuine one.
Thank you. Sorry, Mr. This is the, I'm sure this is the last round. Let me have some, at least one or two. I want to know about the cut grant. Will they will be able to include the extended mandates like forestry and fisheries into the programs? What are the identified projects for implementation? The other one about the management of the state forest, will this still reside with one department mandate? How does the department plan to manage our communities that would like to use the forest resources for sustainable livelihoods and conserving the indigenous forest? Thank you. That is the last round. Minister, I think you wanted to respond.
Yes. Just a postscript. If you could just also indicate to us whether they think there is any need of realigning the strategic document, realigning the budget as well, given this structure of the department, whether this actually is still going to happen.
Okay. Honorable Minister, want to start?
Thanks, Madam Chairperson. I think the Honorable Member Mashile is having an insightful understanding of what is happening. And I commend the member because you are precise in your analysis of what is happening. The department will have to realign its strategic plan because as it is, the strategic plan does not relate to the new priorities of the government. The budget as it is a budget which has been prepared but not realigned. So the budget would also have to be reprioritized, and I think for the adjustment estimate we would be able to have a more accurate perspective of what is in the budget. But the budget as it stands now does not directly answer the need as we have identified the new government. The emphasis on the development of emerging farmers and black farmers is one which is lacking far behind and which has to be re-emphasized. So we are starting with reorganizing the organogram. And this is an important strategy which will allow us to take certain programs to a higher level of importance. You will find that every BE is very low in terms of the officials responsible for every BE. Agro-processing, whereas DTI would have a DDG for agro-processing. Agriculture, agro-processing is very wobbly. So we still need, we must tighten up on agro-processing. You will find that when they speak of the program of action, the department says that it still has to finalize an agro-processing strategy, which is a concern because we're already 15 years in government. So it is now that we will assist black farmers to improve their access to local markets, when we know access to markets is one area which denies growth in the emerging farm sector. The commercialization of livestock is one of the key elements and the cornerstone of farming in traditional areas. So we have put timelines in place that a response or an analysis of the Department on Food Security is required, an analysis on the extent to which we can assist developing farmers in production input, access to markets, and access to different commodity boards, so that these boards are not exclusively serving a white commercial farming sector. You will find the South African Wine Industry Trust, all these boards and bodies have to be reorganized so that they serve a broader sector. They still serve a predominantly white sector of the commercial farming sector. So a number of these boards and the state-owned enterprises will be transformed. And that transformation agenda, the deracialization of the agriculture sector, has to even start in the province, in the provinces, in the national departments as well. I'm not convinced that the emphasis of the department has shifted. So our research stations, the ARC, we have to refocus all our research stations, refocus all our institutions. They have to be refocused. So yes, the task is a mammoth one. The transformation of institutions to meet the agenda of the ruling party, to meet the strategic objectives of the ruling party, is going to have to be one which, whether we stand on those aspects. And we are going to have to stand on those. The sustainability, Honorable Chairperson, of individual projects will be the measure of success of this department. Honorable Charles Rear, the sustainability of the irrigation scheme will be the measure of success. The ANC and the ruling party identify key irrigation schemes as intervention programs for the infrastructure intervention in terms of the global meltdown, but also in terms of the growth sector in agriculture. So one is Makatini, the Fala, and yes. Those are the ones for prioritization. Now, the Department of Agriculture, through the Ilima Letema budget, gave a very small allocation to the Fala irrigation system. And unfortunately, all that allocation was taken to the tea project in Bilbao. The evaluation of that spending is what I seek to do. The evaluation of the business plan for that Ilima Letema, the evaluation of the due diligence, because that is an understanding of these projects are sustainable. The further funding for the intervention in irrigation schemes, or what we're discussing with expanded public work and with treasury. Because the one-off amount in the Palace irrigation scheme is only for certain dams. It's not for the scheme. You cannot say it's an intervention in the scheme. It is just to look at certain dams. So it's only a drop in the ocean. The trade in the Eastern Cape is a drop in the ocean. And it is what we have to then discuss with the Minister of Public Works to ensure that through the extended public works program, we can ensure sustainability. Those discussions have started at a political level, by the chairperson. Our priorities, to answer the honorable member, Mashiya, to have a one-stop shop concept. So instead of emerging farmers having to go to one corner to apply for Ilima Letema and another corner to apply for Mafisa and another business plan for CAT and another business plan for Agri-BEE. The one-stop shop seeks to have a coordinated approach to agricultural opportunities as well as intervention. So that even CAT programs could be offered from that one-stop shop. So that an emerging farmer could come to the one-stop shop, have access to fertilizer, have access to tractors, have access to research, have opportunities for extension officers. The extension officers that we have on the level are not only insufficient, but they are also not adequately trained. So the intervention is not only to increase the numbers, but also to increase the capacity or to improve on the training which extension officers receive. If your training is not going to come cheap or totally not going to happen overnight. But if we want to intervene in black emerging farmers in their businesses or in their production capacity or ability, the assistance which we give them must be of such quality that it does make a significant change in their life or in their farm. The intervention mustn't be such that they wait for fertilizer and it comes after the planting season, or they wait for bulls and the bulls come after the mating season. They wait for tractors and the tractors come after the plowing season. No, it's what that is. So the challenges, yes, honorable member, the challenges due to OSD is there. It's challenges which we are raising for the minister. And we are in fact advising the minister on the certain categories of agreement in terms of the impact it would have on our budget. see is the shortfall of the budget or the ability of the budget to respond to OECD. And when we revise those categories and columns of assessment and analysis, we shall make sure that the honourable members have an opportunity to peruse it before it appears in the media. I have answered whether the priorities have to be readdressed and reasserted. We have to assert our new priorities. The spending patterns on cash is absolutely disconcerting, Mr. Warren, because CAP is one of the impact projects for emerging farmers. It is supposed to be the intervention program for black farmers. And if we do not, if there is no proper monitoring and evaluation mechanisms in place, we'll continue having underspending. And this underspending isn't a new phenomenon. It's an old phenomenon. But we, as you say, we cut and paste, we repackage bad ideas, ideas that haven't succeeded, we repackage it every year. So we have to intervene where the very same projects that year in and year out, we come to the portfolio committee and we come to the select committee every year with the same problem of cash spending. Every year we come to it with the same problem of cash spending. So if we come here another time with problems of cash spending, it means something is seriously wrong. We, Honourable Member Mokoro, we have asked him that MAFISA and LOP and all these different acronyms be housed under one umbrella. So there's better information, there's better access information, but there's also better access to the resources. An emerging farmer cannot pick up the phone and phone for MAFISA and tomorrow pick up the phone and phone for LOP and over tomorrow pick up the phone and phone for INIMA LETSEMA. It's just impossible. So we have to put mechanisms in place to integrate different programs. The integration of those different programs would happen now in these one-stop shops. The co-responsibilities of agriculture and rural development is co-responsible but also independent. Because agriculture provides the economic stimulus for rural development. It is not totally rural development. Rural development encompasses all those priorities. And how we impact on those five key priorities of the rural party, quantifying the job creation ability, is a different approach which the department has to grapple with in terms of how many jobs that we've been creating, how many jobs are we going to create. It's a change in the framework of thinking. You say, for every project, for every million we have saved, can you quantify how many jobs have been created? How many permanent jobs have been created? How many temporary jobs will be created? It's a new method of thinking that has to be inculcated in our planning and in our output and in our measuring and monitoring and evaluation. Honourable member, the biofuel strategy went to cabinet. I have tasked the team that worked on biofuels to come back to me. Yesterday I tasked them to come back to me on an implementation strategy which looks at commodities which do not compromise food security. Those commodities would be any other commodity than wheat. We have looked at sugar beets and those initial experimental ideas went to cabinet, taking it from cabinet to potential implementable strategies so like that. It's a framework document, nothing more than a framework document. And this poses some concern if we have serious challenges with our energy supply and we are still at the level of a concept document. we work with the Department of Minister of Health as well as the Department of Energy to fast track the impact analysis of biofuel and the potential opportunities which exist for biofuel and biodiesel. I think the matter of climate change, we have also asked that we have a total holistic approach to climate change, and that we don't look at disaster management as isolated incidents, but disaster management as it relates to climate change. Now, if you look at disaster management as it relates to climate change, you may then have to look at anthrax in a different way. Whereas now, we do not compensate farmers who lose their cattle through anthrax. And many emerging farmers lose their entire productive capacity through anthrax. Once they've lost their cattle, they do not really receive compensation for their cattle. Or do not allow them any opportunity to restock their farm. You lose your cattle, you lose your farm. So, if we look at disaster management as it relates to climate change, the decisions we take, the decisions we take around disaster management would also have to be evaluated. If you say that climate change is impacting on how these diseases manifest itself in animals and in our livestock. The members, I've asked that you do be patient if I answer, because these are the areas I felt weren't sufficiently covered. Mm-hmm. So if it has been delegated up, then I owe you an answer. I'll exchange places next time. So the agricultural high school, you see that one of our priorities as a leading partner is to intervene in agricultural colleges. I have given such a long wish list with limited capacity in the department. So was on the matter of agricultural high school, for while my department is still grappling with all these areas I have raised with him, I have continued with the Minister for Basic Education and the Minister for Higher Education to open a debate on agricultural colleges and agricultural schools. That would then include the training of emerging farmers. Because the Eastern Cape success story is one which we can use as a pilot to duplicate in other agricultural schools and other agricultural colleges. But it has to be a joint venture between us and education. So that we don't superimpose ourselves on a department which does have delegated powers from the president. The OBP plant is more than just compliant to world standards. It's an intervention mechanism which we are engaging upon at a senior level of government, because we can also understand that it's intellectual property, and the security of intellectual property cannot be compromised. So OBP is one which we work with as senior cabinet ministers. The complaint of commercial farmers is one which we take up in our negotiations. It is one which we also take up in our negotiations with SADC and the AU. It is an area which I have been working with in the Presidential Committee as we accompany the President next week to Libya. The AU meeting in Libya will also be looking at the type of intervention which has to happen in emerging countries and in Africa in particular. You would also know that our negotiations with SACAO have had some serious difficulties with Botswana, Lesotho, and Swaziland broke ranks with Macau and signed separate agreements with the EU. And our concern is that cheaper goods might enter South Africa via Lesotho, Swaziland, and Botswana. So even if those countries have opened the market, it makes us very vulnerable and susceptible to even cheaper foodstuffs entering the South African market without us directly importing commodities from other countries. Lesotho and Swaziland are landlocked, and landlocked by South Africa. So any commodity that comes into those countries, even if they are sovereign states and independent countries, its impact on our country. I hope that I have addressed the matter of the irrigation, the tax grant. There's a huge, huge opportunity for us to include forestry and fisheries along the lines of tax. I'm going to ask a very competent and capable forestry expert to respond to that one. I'm not going to ask him to respond to that one. And the management of the state of forestry, I'm also going to ask her to respond to, if the honorable members allow me to do that.
Yes, no problem.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, Minister and Chairperson. I will start by addressing the issue on the management of state forests. I will request my colleagues to respond on what can we do to maximize the opportunities that are there in CAC. Your question regarding what is the role of the state and what is the role of the communities when it comes to the management of forests, I will answer it at two levels. At one level, the state will continue to manage state forests, commercial and indigenous forests. At the second level, the community has to take note that a few years back, the state had taken an initiative to restructure the management of forests by entering into what people would term privatization. At that point, as a state, we signed 70-year lease agreements with private companies. The challenge that we're now facing is that because of land reform processes, we now realize that the state is actually not the owner of the assets as it was privatized. Going forward, what we need to do is we're working with the land claims commissioner to make sure that we deal with the rights of the communities as the rightful owners. They will then become the owners of the assets, which means government has got an obligation to make sure that they get some kind of post-settlement support. Again, in the same light, because of the privatization that was done, there are certain monies that come out of the privatization in the sense that the private companies are paying the state rental money. Mm-hmm. To date, the trust fund has got more than 100 million rand in its account, which is a bit, it's not an ideal situation because you cannot as government keep money when communities are poor. It's not mm-hmm. right. It's not acceptable. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing with the land claims commissioner is to make sure that they speed up the process of verifying who are the rightful owners, who are the beneficiaries, and once that is done, the minister will then hand over mm-hmm. the money to the communities. Mm-hmm. So there are opportunities for more jobs in the rural setting, mm-hmm. but again, communities will have to get the technical support, and I believe government is got an obligation. Looking at the sector as a whole, it is very vertically integrated. In other words, if you look at a commercial forest company, they will own the land, they will own the trees, they will own the processing up to the point where you're sitting on a chair, up to the point where you're using a piece of paper. So if we look at the implications of the role of communities, it means it has introduced a bit of uncertainty in the sector because the investors are now hesitant to put in more resources because of that element of who exactly is the rightful owner. But as government, I do not think we should be concerned because it simply puts back rightfully what belongs to communities.
at the another level of looking at it is that as a sector, what can communities get out of politics? If you go to a typical rural city, say in the Eastern Cape, we've got what we call woodlots. They are not a forest per se because of their extent, but they are a resource that can enable communities to get certain benefits such as firewood at no cost. So it's important for government to have existing beneficial relationships with communities so that they have access to the resource, because it provides energy, it provides other forms of food, and it also, in a way, makes sure that the environmentally communities have an opportunity to contribute to other emerging global challenges such as climate change. I would then request my colleague just to comment on what can we do going forward in terms of integration into agricultural support mechanism. Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
I'll give you some few minutes because the time we're going to another meeting is 1 o'clock.
Okay, I don't think so. In terms of trying to see how we can utilize our current setup to make sure that we make demand benefit for the opportunity. We are currently looking under the landscape program, which is also going to look at the woodland rehabilitation. In the past, we were looking at woodlands, which are those resources that are our communities as they arrive on the landscape of crop products and wood as well as national plants. But in terms of the national forest, we are looking at woodlands in terms of importing and also preserving them. But agriculture was supposed to remain for the management. Now we see this current setup where now we are going to work together to make sure that we can have taking those forests. Also, as an adaptation strategy towards the climate change.
If you allow me just to add, the other opportunity that exists is because the charter. There is an expectation that on an annual basis we should allow South Africans to participate in the creation of new forests, what we call afforestation. Mm-hmm. In order to do that, we need funding mechanisms, we need technical expertise, and we see that as an opportunity of using the existing agricultural program.
Thank you.
Madam Chairperson, the opportunity also exists that we use the critical mass which we require for biofuel to develop forests for carbon credit, as well as addressing climate change, as well as for agri-production. The one crop which I have asked the DDG and the Lewis to look at is the potential of bamboo, and looking at how these production crops or high-value crops could expand or extend the life around the West Coast, where the opportunities for fishing cultures have become quite compromised and reduced. So providing alternative economic opportunities through biofuel and forestry would then be one of our priorities.
Thank you, Minister. I think we exhausted our time and also our questions. As I said before, that if we got the documents before, it means we'll take the whole day interrogate the document, because it's so interesting, and also it's our priority as the Parliament. So I think I will ask the Honourable Darren to thank the minister and also the department.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Minister, for making the time to be available here. Also, to your department on your presentation. We found it very interesting. Needless to say, when it came to the question time, there's lots of members here with lots of questions. I think there are many provinces and we want to know this and that. But we've got to get you through it. And please, if time permits, please come to our meetings, because sometimes we start a new parliamentary term and then the ministers are all there and then they disappear again. But please, as I said, if time permits in your schedule, please come to the meetings, and we really appreciate it being here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think it will allow the minister and the deputy that we've got some few things to say to the committee. Thank you, Minister. computing.
Okay.